Good morning, brothers and sisters, and welcome to the Heathered Sixth Sacrament meeting today. I'd like to extend a warm welcome to anyone who is visiting or here for the first time. Bishop Alan Misbach is presiding at today's meeting and asks that I, Brother Beckstead, conduct today. I'd also like to acknowledge Brother Russ Day, sitting on the stand from the High Council today. We will open today's meeting by singing hymn number 103, Precious Savior, Dear Redeemer, after which our invocation will be offered by Brother Stephen Anderson.
Our Father in heaven, we are grateful to gather here this morning for church. We're grateful for our Savior, Jesus Christ, and for the gospel that he taught. We're grateful to have that in our lives. We pray that we may have thy Spirit with us today, that thy Spirit will be with those who speak and with all of us who listen. We pray that we may be blessed with a desire for righteousness. We pray that we may seek forgiveness and to have faith in thee and thy Son. We pray that we may forgive and love others. Again, we thank thee for thy gospel, and we say this in the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
I'd like to turn the time over to Brother Day, who has some items of state business.
Thank you, and it's good to be with you this morning. The state presidency has directed that I conduct the following business. It is proposed that Robert Ashby Ivy of the Heatheridge 6th Ward be ordained to the office of High Priest. Those in favor, please manifest it by the uplifted hand. Those opposed, if any, please indicate by the same sign. Thank you. It is proposed that we release with heartfelt gratitude Sisters Colleen Nacken of the Heatheridge 1st Ward, Lanny E. Bauer of the Heatheridge 7th Ward, and Sharon Lender of the Heatheridge 4th Ward as the Stake Relief Society Presidency. All who wish to express their appreciation for their wonderful service, please indicate by the uplifted hand. Thank you. Would the following please stand if present? It's proposed that we sustain Sharon Lender, Sharon Lender of the Heatheridge 4th Ward as Stake Relief Society President, with Kathleen Swenson of the Heatheridge 7th Ward as First Counselor, and Jean G. Davis of the Heatheridge 4th Ward as Second Counselor. Those in favor, please manifest it by the uplifted hand. If there are any opposed, please manifest it by the same sign. Thank you.
We look forward to a wonderful meeting today. Our first speaker today will be Brother Jim Strang. After Brother Strang, we will sing an intermediate hymn, number 258, O Thou Rock of Our Salvation, and then we will hear from Sister Janet Sperry. Brother Strang.
It does help to have my scriptures out before I begin. I was touched, brothers and sisters, by given the opportunity to speak to you today. And I pray that the Spirit of our Heavenly Father will be with me and with you, that what I have prepared and then have been prompted might be received by that same Spirit. I was in the Heatherridge, what ward, Joni? First ward, a number of years ago, for about 6 years, when I was working for Signetics, then bought out by Philips. And after a series of plant closures, I ended up in Arizona, and then the last 7 years in Texas before moving back here. And I am impressed by the spirit and the reverence that you brothers and sisters, young and old, exhibit on the Sabbath day in sacrament meeting, and then in attendance at Sunday school and priesthood, Relief Society. And was pondering during the sacrament service the reverence, the learning to serve, and the service that's being rendered by our priesthood holders as they administer the sacrament in blessing, preparing, blessing, and passing that sacrament to us. When I think of them, the young Aaronic priesthood, as they pass the sacrament, the service that they are rendering, and then think back to the Savior, held in his mother's arms and being raised as a young lad, learning the trade and carpentry of his earthly father, at what point he became more and more aware of the service that he was to render throughout the remainder of his life. Did it start on or about the time he was in the temple, sitting among the learned and expounding scriptures? Our Heavenly Father loves us, and he serves us. And it is for us to serve not just our Heavenly Father, but in so doing, to serve our brothers and sisters throughout this earth, all of whom are children of our Heavenly Father. I looked up about service, and dictionaries aren't as available now as they used to be, but if you don't have one, there's always Google. It says the action of helping or doing work for someone. And service is a blessing is the topic of my talk this morning. Millions are involved in voluntary service. Favor, kindness, good turns, helping hand, assistance, help, aid, offices, ministrations, the act of assistance. Think of those who serve us. As I had my breakfast this morning, cereal raised by farmers, performing a service. Milk for that cereal from, in my case, not all are lactose tolerant, but by the cows, a couple of which I used to milk many, many, many years ago. And they are providing a service. Eggs from our chickens. When the Lord and Michael came down at the direction of our Heavenly Father to organize this earth as a place for us to reside. They went through the steps of not just through the powers of priesthood organizing the earth, but beautifying it with trees and all manner of fruit and vegetables, making this a beautiful place. And I consider this part of the Lord's vineyard as being a beautiful place. When I think back on the pioneers that came here, and a couple of the movies, which are modern day services, 17 Miracles put out by the church, and Ephraim's Rescue, the service that was rendered to people who were dying and needed rescuing. And then the service that was provided thereafter by those who survived in settling here. Did the seagulls provide a service when they helped save the crops? Did the saints provide a service that was a blessing to all of them in their age and continuing on down to our own age, provide a service? Why, the Great Salt Lake Valley, nobody could raise anything there. Why settle in the Salt Lake Valley? But Brigham Young said, this is the right place. Through inspiration, through guidance, the pioneers settled here and elsewhere. And wherever they have settled, they were directed through the prophets that this is the growth of the church and that it's going to spread, not just here locally, but throughout the whole earth. We've been advised that the work must be hastened. How are we going to hasten the work? I can think of some 80,000 plus, probably, missionaries, young and old, throughout this church. And Rex Bennett had a video that showed the growth of the stakes going from not even one stake less than 200 years ago to now it is penetrating so much of the earth in areas that we would never have dreamed of. A blessing to those who serve and a blessing to those who hear and accept the gospel, either when they are being taught or sometime thereafter with the seed having been planted of the truthfulness of the gospel. How many serve? We all do. Think of it. Our professions at home. I'm thinking of those in the medical profession, law enforcement to help protect us, fire services, sanitation services, research. All fields that are developed and refined to be a service. Yes, a livelihood. And so in that way we're blessed. And if we're in a profession that we like, We are then blessed with a feeling of peace at the end of the day, that we have accomplished something, that we have been able to benefit the lives of others, directly or indirectly. I mentioned even our animals, and in the creation, this earth was provided with beasts and fowls and fishes and all manner of life to go along with all of the beauties of nature that help to provide joy for us and our ancestors. And in the scriptures, replete with service on the part of prophets, the Bible, the Book of Mormon, the revelations given in the Doctrine and Covenants, the pearl of great price. Adam was that men might be, and men are that they might have joy. And indeed, we can. One of the things that was mentioned with respect to joy, a feeling of great pleasure and happiness, and in quotes, tears of joy, delight, great pleasure, joyfulness, jubilation, triumphant exultation, rejoicing, happiness, gladness, elation, euphoria. How many, as I will say, I have felt a number of times when I have knelt in prayer to feel the gratitude for the blessings that have come to me. I must admit, when I lived here before in the Hetheridge First Ward, Northridge, not Hetheridge, now Hetheridge 6. But I used to have assignments given to me to go out on the fruit, on the welfare farm, the fruit farm down in Alberta area. I don't know if that's still there or not. Get up early in the morning, drive down there, thin, hoe, pick, and when it was threatening to freeze, going down and helping with the smudge pots and fans. I don't know how many remember those types of experiences. And then after moving to Arizona, being able to go down to Mesa to a very large cannery complex. And I did that with joy, because by then I had been brought along a little bit in feeling of the blessings that can come from service and working shoulder to shoulder, both on the farm and in the cannery. Did that bless my life? Yes. Did it bless the life of many, many others? Thinking of those things that we can do, our fast offerings, humanitarian aid. When you think about those who are without, those are things that we can do ourselves. And many hands make light work, as they say. So blessings can come to those who are without through our efforts in the cannery and the farm, through our offerings, our tithes, our offerings. How about the Perpetual Education Fund? That's on the church list. Funds for helping to construct temples And another one that I have come to be one of my favorites is the Temple Patrons Fund. I don't give very much. I don't have a lot to give. But I believe, brothers and sisters, in the law of consecration, the law of sacrifice, and the law of the gospel as taught in the temple. And I do what I can. I came from Dallas, where I served for a couple of years as an ordinance worker. And prior to that, my dearly departed Lorena and I served together at the Mesa Temple for 7 or 8 years while her health would permit. The spirit of Elijah is alive and well today in helping us. And much is being done, aided somewhat by the blessings of computers, the indexing program of the church, and all of the temple work that's being done. Well, my time is drawing to a close this morning. And these are thoughts, aside from a number of things that I had printed out in looking what I might talk about, these thoughts came to me as I was taking my shower this morning. And I thought, hey, that's service. It's not what I had originally prepared. And one of the things that I had down was an anonymous quote, been there, done that. I've heard that before, mostly not from the younger ones, but for those, and I'm starting to put myself in that category too, of having served in a number of different positions in different wards and stakes in the church. And some things never go away. So I'm sure many of you have heard the same thing. The gospel of Jesus Christ does not work that way. There are many scriptures, hymns, and temple covenants that dispel it as falling for the adversary's way of slowing down and defeating the reason for us being here on the earth, especially for us now, perhaps more than any other time, since we believe we were sent down at this precise time for our personal testing, growth, and helping the Savior and Heavenly Father in His glory to bring to pass the immortality and eternal life of man. This is perhaps the biggest blessing of all. And Heavenly Father would have all of us have this blessing. That means returning to Him and His Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, after the millennium, back to this earth, which will be celestialized, to live here in peace and harmony, eternally in exaltation. I can't think of a better blessing from service than this in our lives. I know the gospel is true. I'm grateful for it. And pray that we all might think more fully in our hearts, in our minds, in our prayers, about the blessings of service. A service that we never end. It may not be in the vigor of our earlier years, but we are still given those things to be able to do, and we are challenged that we will never be asked to do anything service-wise or otherwise, keeping the laws and the commandments of a Heavenly Father, than we are able to do. And this I leave with you, bearing my witness of the truthfulness of the gospel and the plan of salvation, in the holy name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Good morning. I am Janet Sperry. My husband, Lyle, and I have been in the ward for about 3.5 years now. And Lyle and I met at an institute class. And then we dated for 2 years. And then we were married in September of 2012. We lived in Provo for about a year. And then we moved into this ward. And we were still pretty new to the ward when we had our daughter, Michaela. She was born 8 weeks early and due to preeclampsia, and she spent 6 weeks in the NICU. And speaking of service that we just heard about, this ward was fantastic at that time for us. We felt so much love and support from our new ward family that barely knew us during those crazy weeks. And then this last April, we had our son, Travis. So as I was thinking about this talk for the last couple of weeks, I was able to reflect on all the times that prayer has impacted my life. And I found this quote by Boyd K. Packer, and it says, "No father would send his children off to a distant, dangerous land for a lifetime of testing where Lucifer was known to roam free without first providing them with a personal power of protection. He would also supply them with means to communicate with him from father to child and from child to father. Every child of our Father sent to earth is provided with the Spirit of Christ or the light of Christ. We are, none of us, left here alone without hope of guidance and redemption." Heavenly Father gave us the gift of prayer so that we had a way to communicate with him, to ask questions, learn, build faith through our mortal lives. So a week before Michaela was born, I ended up in the hospital with preeclampsia. And they said that she might need to be delivered that day or that they might be able to keep her in for a few more weeks. But I would likely be in the hospital until she was born either way. It was then that I started really relying on prayer. And I relied on that gift of prayer immediately. And that continued until long after she was home with us. I prayed that she'd be okay, and then if she did have to come early, she would be able to thrive. I was then put on some medication to keep my blood pressure stabilized that had horrible side effects. Again, I prayed that I would survive, because that was in question for a minute, and that I would be able to raise my little girl. I was given steroids for Michaela's lung, and then miraculously, when she was, miraculously, she was able to stay inside for another 6 days. This gave her lungs a chance to develop, and she was breathing on her own when she was born. I had been constantly praying that week, and the Lord heard my prayers. Another faith-building example of prayer for my life happened when I was in fourth grade. It was the day of my grandma's funeral, so I was home from school. I woke up to the sound of my sister running down the hall screaming for my dad. My mom was having a seizure, so my sister called 911 while my brother helped my mom on the floor. None of us knew where my dad was. He had a meeting that he had to be to before the funeral, so he'd gone into work. I was so scared, and all I could think to do was go back in my room and pray. Sorry. I remember praying that my mom would be okay and that we'd be able to find my dad. Once my sister got off the phone with 911, she called my brother, who lived a few blocks away. For some reason, my dad had told him where he was going, that he had a meeting. So we were able to find my dad, and I don't remember much else about that day except going to my grandma's funeral with all my siblings and answering the same question about where my mom and dad were all day long. And then I remember feeling comfort that my mom would be okay. I really like the words of the hymn, Secret Prayer. It says, "There is an hour of peace and rest unmarred by earthly care. 'Tis when before the Lord I go and kneel in secret prayer. The straight and narrow way to heaven, where angels bright and fair are singing to God's praise, is found through constant secret prayer. When sailing on life's stormy sea, mid billows of despair, 'tis solace to my soul to know God hears my secret prayer. When thorns are strewn along my path and foes my feet ensnare, my Savior to my aid will come if sought in secret prayer. He hears, our Heavenly Father hears the prayers of everyone. He hears our prayers about big life decisions as well as our more trivial concerns. President Boyd K. Packer shared this story. When I was first called as a general authority nearly 50 years ago, we lived on a very small plot of ground in Utah Valley that we called our farm. We had a cow and a horse and chickens and lots of children. One Saturday, as I was to drive to the airport for a flight to a state conference in California, but the cow was expecting a calf and in trouble. The calf was born, but the cow would not get up. We called the veterinarian, who soon came. He said the cow had swallowed a wire and would not live through the day. I copied the telephone number of the animal byproducts company so my wife could call them to come and get the cow as soon as she died. Before I left, we had our family prayer. Our little boy said the prayer. After he had asked Heavenly Father to bless Daddy in his travels and bless us all, he then started an earnest plea. He said, "Heavenly Father, please bless Bossy Cow so that she will get to be all right." In California, I told the incident and said, "He must learn that we do not get everything we pray for just that easily." There was a lesson to be learned, but it was I who learned it, not my son. When I returned Sunday night, Bossy had got to be all right. So when I was in junior high, I played softball during the summers on a city league. My sister had come to one of my games, and as we were all leaving, some dust got in her eye, and her contact fell out. She had hard contacts that were really expensive to replace, and she was really blind without them. We all started looking for it, but it was getting dark fast, and we couldn't find it. The next morning, my dad drove back and over to the parking lot to look again. He looked for a long time and was about to leave when he decided to pray about it. He looked some more, and then he noticed a little ant crawling, and he got the impression to watch the ant. And he watched the ant, and the ant crawled right on top of my sister's contact. My dad has also lost his wedding ring quite a few times while doing yard work, especially as he's gotten older. I guess his hands have shrunk. But each time he's prayed about it, about where to find it, and sometimes he's been able to find it quickly, and sometimes it has taken months to find. His ring has spent many winters out in the garden, but he's always found it. And a sick cow, a contact lens, and a wedding ring are probably not very important things that will alter the course of our eternal salvation, but the Lord knows that they are important to us here on earth, so he listens to our prayers and answers them. Carol F. McConkie, in this last general conference, said, "Prayer is essential to developing faith. When the Lord comes again, he will find a people who know how to pray in faith and who are prepared to receive salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We are children of a loving Heavenly Father, and we may enjoy personal communion with him when we pray with a sincere heart, with real intent, having faith in Christ, and then act in accordance with the answers we receive by the promptings of the Holy Ghost. In faith, we pray, we listen, and we obey, that we might learn to become one of the Father and the Son." Sometimes we will be prompted to pray for something. One night, I was visiting my sister, and her 15-year-old daughter was going to a party that night. Her dad took her and let her drive since she'd just gotten her learner's permit. And as we sat down to dinner, my sister said the blessing and was prompted to pray for my niece's safety. You don't normally pray for people's safety when you're blessing the food, but she did. And not long after, we got word that she'd been in an accident. She was driving a convertible, and her dad was riding in the back seat. The sun was in her eyes, so she couldn't see the street signs very well and almost missed her turn. She made the turn too fast and slid on some loose gravel. The car slid into a barbed wire fence, and the wire went up over the windshield and over my niece's head. And then the wire hit her dad, who was in the back seat, in the neck, but the car stopped before he was seriously hurt. He walked away with a very small scratch across his neck or ear, and then the car had just very minor scratches, but everyone was fine. So my sister had faith that the prompting she received would be acted on, and her actions helped in the protection of her family. Melvin J. Ballard said, "It is not only important that we shall know how to pray, but it is equally important that we shall know how to receive the answer to our prayer, to be discerning, to be alert, to be able to see with clear vision and understand with clear intention God's will and purpose concerning us." The answers we get to our prayers can come in many different forms. Sometimes we get a very strong yes or no. Sometimes it's not right now. Sometimes the Lord tells us that we get to choose. And sometimes we have a stupor of thought. I'm sure there's others that I didn't think of, other answers that we can get. But there have been a few really big decisions in my life that I needed to make. And so when I prayed about it, I thought I would get a definite yes or no answer because these were huge, impactful decisions I needed to make. When it came time for college, I prayed about two different schools, and my answer was that either school would provide me with a good education and experience, and I could choose. So I chose to go to SUU, since that was the one I was leaning more towards, and I've never regretted that decision. I had a blast. It was great. I learned a lot. And then when Lyle and I were dating, I prayed whether he was the one to marry or not. And I thought for sure, okay, I'm praying about who I'm supposed to marry. I'm going to get like a definite yes or no answer. But I was kind of surprised when I received the answer, yes, if that is what you want. And I felt like the Lord trusted me to make a wise choice. And either way I chose, he would support my decision and bless me. And with both of those choices, I felt like I knew the answer before I prayed about it, but I still sought the Lord's guidance. And not once have I ever regretted marrying Lyle. Sister McConkie said, "The answers we receive in prayer may not be what we would desire, but in times of trouble, our prayers become a lifeline of love and tender mercy. In our pleading, we may be strengthened to go forward and fulfill all that we have been ordained to do." While I was in college, I prayed about going on a mission. And while I waited for my answer, I would start studying and preparing. I got to preach my gospel. I started looking at it, thinking that I would receive my yes answer anytime. But every time I would become quickly distracted and not think about it for months. And then when I would think about it again, I would pray about it again and repeat the process. And then I'd forget, you know. So after a few times, it finally dawned on me that the answer was not the yes that I was expecting, but rather a stupor of thought, and that I was not supposed to go on a mission at that time in my life. Not long after that, I met Lyle. So I guess that gave me my reason. President Boyd K. Packer said, "Learn to pray. Pray often. Pray in your mind, in your heart. Pray on your knees. Prayer is your personal key to heaven. The lock is on your side of the veil, and I have learned to conclude all my prayers with, 'Thy will be done.' Pray even if you are young and wayward like the prophet Elma, or have a closed mind like Amulek, who knew concerning these things yet would not know." In the hymn, "Prayer is the Soul's Sincere Desire," in verse 3 it says, "Prayer is the simplest form of speech that infant lips can try. Prayer, the sublimest strains that reach the majesty on high." Prayer is something that many of us learned as young children. Oftentimes, children are the ones that remind us to pray or suggest a prayer when a problem arises. And I hope that we can all remember that prayer is a gift from God and that He wants us to utilize it frequently. It is our way to communicate with our Heavenly Father, who loves us and wants to help us and bless us. I hope that we can all remember to ask so that the door can be opened unto us. I know that prayer is a powerful tool, and that our Heavenly Father gave to us to help us navigate this mortal life. And if we use it, we'll find answers to our questions and peace and comfort in our trials. And I say this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
We'd like to thank our speakers for their wonderful words, Brother Strang and Sister Sperry. I'd also like to thank Brother Grapes as our chorister and Sister Buman on the organ. We will now conclude this meeting by singing hymn number 145, Prayer is the Soul's Sincere Desire, and then the benediction will be offered by Sister Amber Andrews.
Our dear Heavenly Father, we are grateful to be gathered here this Sabbath day. We're grateful for the speakers and the messages that they have given. Please help us to take those into our daily lives and apply them. We're grateful for the many blessings that Thou has given us and to be a part of this gospel. Please help us to be examples to others and to always be inspired by Thee. Grateful for the love and support that we have in this ward, and for the blessing that we are to each other. We love thee so very much, and please help us to have a wonderful Sabbath day and to be respectful of thy day. We say these things in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.